Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link. Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. So today I have with me Arif Maharali, and he is the co-founder of City Block Agency, which is an agency that serves the real estate space. So really excited to learn about Arif's journey of, you know, entrepreneurship, some challenges that he's had to overcome along the way while he's grown his agency, and, you know, how he grows his agency and brings in more leads. So yeah, let's get into it, Arif.
Well, Julia, thanks for having me. I'm super excited.
Yes, likewise. So to get started, I'd love to know what really, you know, fuels you and what really inspires you as an agency owner and entrepreneur.
I mean, I've been an entrepreneur a long time. I'm 44 now. And, you know, ever since I was in post-secondary, always thinking about, you know, new businesses to start that will solve a problem. Really. And so trying to identify, what do people struggle with? And is there something I can add to that to help them through those struggles? So, entrepreneurism is just in my blood. I've tried the corporate route and it always goes back to, you know what, I can do this on my own and I can do it better. So yeah.
It's hard to put into words what really, you know, makes an entrepreneur, but I think it's just, you know, you just have that drive to, you just want to do it yourself. You have all these ideas and you'll never be happy working for someone else. You have to be the one who's executing on those ideas.
Totally. Yeah. And you don't get me wrong. I would say it's probably the hardest decision in one's career path because you're wearing many hats and you're trying to, prove your worth to people that don't know who you are or who your brand is. You may have a family, you may have all these other things in your life that you have to juggle. But the rewards on the other end are more than you'll ever get if you just want to work, you know, corporate or whatever, in my opinion anyway. But
yeah, no, I agree 100%. It's not the easy route, but like you said, it's the most rewarding and, yeah, love it.
Yeah.
So I would love to learn a little bit more about your story of starting City Block. So, you know, what was that deciding factor that you were going to start an agency?
Do we have 3 hours to talk? No, I'm just joking. Okay. So it kind of started off with a passion of design and home building. I was working corporate till about 2014 and, where I live, oil and gas is a predominant industry and you can work your way up and you can make tons of money, but I wasn't happy because I'm an entrepreneur at heart. And so I went to my wife and I was like, hey, Gina. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, why don't we start building homes? I know nothing about building homes, like zero. She's like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, why don't you do the design? Because she loves design. Mm-hmm. And I'll start a business and we'll start doing renovations first to get our feet wet and then we'll start building. So that's what I did. Yeah. So we started building homes and how I grew my company was strictly through social media.
Interesting.
So I had my phone and I would document my days to be the subject matter expert in what I was doing. So I would talk to the trades, the electricians, the plumbers, asking them, what should people be asking when they're going to build or do a renovation? And so I would build this content based around education while building. So I'm getting clients because people are trusting my content. I've got a great team. One thing I do, I think, well, is I surround myself with very intelligent people in specific skill sets. So because I didn't know how to build, I had a team that did that, but I was very good with customers. And customer service to me in any agency or any business is key. That high touch client experience. So yes. I took care of that. And so we were doing this for about 4 years. And then Julia, I hated it. I was like, this is horrible. We're creating some beautiful product, but the construction side and dealing with site super after site super and all of that created a monster. Like I was a different person. My wife was like, who are you? We just had a baby. And I was miserable. And she's like, you need to make a decision here. And I was like, I do. So I had 6 projects lined up in 2018 and I gave them away. And she's like, what are you going to do now? And I said, well, the last 4 years with all the social media we were doing, I had builders coming to ask me for help on marketing. And I was like, I think there's something here, because in the industry, it's kind of, they're kind of behind when it comes to like marketing and digital and all of these things. So I was like, I'm going to start a social media marketing company. And I'll have my own photographer and videographer, and we will create content that's specific to their brand. No stock photography anymore. Like the people of the brand and the employees of the brand and the marketing pieces of that brand. And that's where we started. So that's how I started my agency, was on the island of social media. And then from there, it just blew up. And there's many layers that added on after that.
Yeah, so interesting. And then, So I guess you would have had some good connections in the industry to get started with, you know, bringing on your first few clients. So yeah, I'd love to learn about, you know, what your strategy was for bringing in leads as you grew your agency.
Good point. So I did. So over the 4 years, obviously, as I mentioned, I had other builders and developers seeing the work. And so I almost started to, that was my resume. So essentially when they found out that I was shifting, they were like, we're in. So I had a list of clients that signed up right away.
Amazing.
So it was that long play that allowed me to instantly get clients. Now, I wouldn't say I charged properly. I wouldn't say I was profitable right away, but at least it was building my portfolio. And I was aware of that. And there was things I needed to learn as well. So I instantly had a book full of clients that we serviced. But I would say that as I've gone through the years, I would say the long game is key. So for example, you have a podcast. And it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of your time, but it also needs to get some legs, which means also time. It means you have to constantly be putting out some sort of content to show that you're relevant, you know what you're talking about, you're working, you're doing great projects. And to me, that's how you gain trust and people are watching. Don't fool yourself. They may not comment and stuff, but they're watching. So when you do pick up the phone and you say, you know, say it's a cold call or something like that, and you're talking to a prospect, you know, 9 times out of 10 or 8 times out of 10, they're going to say, yeah, I've seen your stuff on LinkedIn. And you're like, oh, really? And it's so cool. you're already in there.
Yeah.
At least to have a conversation. Maybe they don't hire you, but I just find patience in business and not always chasing that profit right away. You have to be profitable, but you also have to put some time in and be patient with how long it takes to generate that trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's been, I mean, I've made some very risky decisions in the business, because I have a long-term goal. So instead of getting business now, I'll do certain things that won't bring business for months because I'm working on them. So in 2021, 22, I didn't take any new clients because I had a plan on growing this business and it needed that time to do it. So, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And so I know you mentioned that, you know, customer service is so important to you, which I agree 100%. So what are some ways that you really, you know, serve your clients so that they're going to be happy clients who are going to, you know, just bring in referrals for your business?
100%. The top thing I would say is if you don't make communication the key pillar in your business, communication could be returning an email when a client reaches out, you know, setting up a Slack channel or a WhatsApp channel so they're able to reach out, because things are always fluid, things are moving. I would say that's one of the biggest frustrations I've seen in clients is they will hire an agency and they're like, no one gets back to us, or it takes days to get back.
Yeah.
So when we started this business, my team, I was like, no matter what, we have to make sure that if an email comes through, we get back, even if we don't know the answer, but we get back saying, got the email, circling back with the team, we'll have an answer for you tomorrow or something like that. That simple piece of communication is worth, you know, when you hear this word value, well, we have value add. That's something where it's just like, if communication is important to your organization, it's a main pillar of our organization. So that is key. So that's a high touch experience for our clients. They know that someone's going to get back to them. I think it goes further than our quality and all the stuff that everyone talks about. It's the how. Like, how do you deal with our company on a day-to-day basis? Mm-hmm. And so I would say communication's a massive piece of that. And I think also some agencies, and I'm not begging, it depends on your business model, but we're not transactional. So it's not like, we're very integrated in our clients' business. So they bring us in on meetings with different stakeholders because we're a piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. And we're proud to sit there as if we're there, we're theirs, we're part of their team.
Yeah.
Which means I can't do a volume business. I can only do a strategic, like certain type of clients that fit our model. So they get that service ongoing. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. And so what would you say has been the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown CityWalk?
Biggest challenge, I would say, is there's still, it really depends on the type of client. Corporate clients, I say, get this better than some of the smaller businesses, but the value behind marketing. Mm-hmm. We're always justifying social media costs, graphic design costs, all of those kinds of things, because there's sometimes you can't see the data behind what that stuff is doing for your brand. So why is a logo so expensive, right? So we're constantly trying to justify the worth of a logo. Digital advertising, pretty black and white. You get your Google Analytics, you get all the analytics, so that way they can see it. But social media, well, we're not getting business from social media. And it's like, well, but social media is, you know, depending if, you know, Instagram is more of a brand play. It's an awareness play. It's allowing people to come into your brand and understand what you're doing on a day-to-day business. Basis. So it's like constantly justifying all the different levels of marketing, and, you know, you give them a price of whatever it is and it's like, whoa, you know? That, and I don't know if that's ever going to end, but that's been for as long as I've been doing this. That's always like the sticker shock is always a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think though, if, you know, you don't have some clients or prospects who aren't, you know, you know, thinking like, you know, even like turning away because the cost is too much, you're not charging mm-hmm. enough. You know, you never want to be in that position where you're not charging enough, because you're just totally. Going to be bitter and resentful. And it's, you know, it's not going to, you're not going to be producing the best quality of work that you can be.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you lose them because, you know, they're concerned at the price and they don't understand the value, then I would say they're not really like an ideal client.
You know, I tell my team, we encourage more no's than yeses, because it kind of tells us where we are on, you know, if I did 10 bids and I landed 9 of them, mm-hmm. my pricing is probably too low. You know, but if I did 10 bids and I landed 3, but it was at a really nice price point that we know we can deliver at, not have resentment, be super excited to execute because it's a fair value for what we're going to give in return,
yeah.
Then that's success to us. So,
yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
So what are your goals? I'd love to know, you know, where you see City Block in 5 years' time.
So City Block now is as of recently, the last year I mentioned, we weren't doing any business development, et cetera, because I identified a huge gap where marketing tends to get a bad rap. And that is, we were bringing leads into our clients. We were creating beautiful websites. Digital marketing was on point. And then sales would get those leads and they would drop off.
And so I was like, so your client's sales team wasn't able to convert them.
Exactly. For whatever reason. So I was like, this is not good, because in our meetings, marketing got beat up and sales were like, right. So I was like, sales and marketing are living on two different islands, and you're going to hear this more often. And it's like, how do we bring those two together? So it's the benefit of both. And more importantly, at the end of the day, the executive team wants to know that their revenues are being hit, their targets are being hit. So how can we help the sales teams with the marketing initiatives? Mm-hmm. So City Block is just that. We are a sales and marketing solutions firm. We take control of the whole marketing and sales cycle. And if you have, to the point where we embed our own sales teams, or if they have a sales team, we have a coaching aspect. So we, right. And so the other piece of that was, well, how do we track that? So the executive team gets data from what they're doing in marketing. They can see the client journey right down to the sale. And so that was through a CRM. Mm-hmm. And so we started to explore what CRMs were out there that gives that really high touch client experience and nurturing. And we settled on HubSpot. So we became a HubSpot partner. Mm-hmm. And now we have a full offering where we can talk to our clients and say, listen, we will take care of the sales and marketing. You will be able to get data and see where your dollars are going and how those clients are perceiving your brand. And it's all kind of turnkey solution that you get to have as part of your organization. And that's what City Block is today. So we're really owning that. And it's so cool because we've actually expanded our business into the rental side. So so we can just literally embed this formula in the residential side, the sales side, and also the leasing side. So we've been involved in marketing these really cool rental, luxury rental projects, mm-hmm. Where they're full amenities like pools, wine rooms, like all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And we get to control the whole narrative to lease these projects out, because it's our backs against the line now, because we're doing the sales and the leasing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the clients are loving it. They're like, this is really great. And so, yeah, so that's the goal right now. Long term, because I love to travel, I can see us doing this for resorts, hotels, resorts, because again, the same model, we can kind of transplant, or like condos in Mexico. Like, we have the solution to launch projects. So that's the kind of term. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that you guys really identified that there was a gap in the market and just went after it. And yeah, I agree 100%. You know, if your clients aren't able to close these leads that are coming in, then, you know, all your hard work is just, it's going to waste. So yeah, I think that's so cool that you guys have tackled the marketing and the sales side. And that's just so valuable to business owners.
And the psychology on both of those sides is very different, right? Marketers are big thinkers. They're, you know, they take risks. They're forward thinking. Salespeople are wired very differently. It's about making that sale, getting that commission, moving on to the next person. So you're actually dealing with two very different mindsets that we're actually bringing together. And enabling salespeople to understand that, you know what, marketing's here to help you. We want you to sell. And so this is what we're doing here. Does that align with what you're doing over here? And usually it's yes, that is what we want to do. And it's like, great, let's do this together. And so I think marketing, the reason why I had to do that was because there's a lot of marketing companies out there. And how do you differentiate yourself? Right, outside of price. And I didn't want to get into the price war. I wanted to get into the value add offering, where it's just like, we take care of more than just marketing. And then that way I can command a more competitive price. There's less competitors, and more value, more return to the client. So
Yeah. I think that's so smart and such a great way to just set yourselves apart from other agencies out there.
Yeah. So.
Awesome. Well, we are going to be moving on to the fast five. So I'll have five rapid fire questions for you in just a moment. Okay. But before we move on, do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would say kind of what we talked about earlier, believe in your pricing, believe in your structure, what you offer as far as value, because in marketing, it's scary. You almost think sometimes you should take a job just because maybe the market's slower or whatever. Mm-hmm. Stay the course and really hone in and focus on what industry you service very well. And double down on that. Because when I started, we were doing all sorts of marketing, all sorts. And we looked at the skill set of our team and we said, you know what, real estate is really where we can add the most value. So we forgot, we stopped doing everything else. So if there's a specific industry that you can really give back to and produce some really awesome stuff that you love doing, really go for it. Focus. Like, cut the fat and see what happens.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And just put together, you know, really great case studies of, you know, previous work you've done, get those reviews from previous clients and just stick by your pricing, like you mentioned.
100%. And don't be afraid to charge more, continue to charge more. As you get confident, as you get more demand, charge more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're ready to move on to the fast five now. So I've got five rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes, I think so.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
$100 million Offers by Alex Hormozi. Read it. It's so good.
I love Alex Hormozi. I got to read that for sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he's all over, you know, podcasts and internet, but the book is super valuable. So yes.
He is just a wealth of information. So I can't wait to read that.
Awesome.
So cool. And what does your morning routine look like?
I don't look at my phone first thing. Mm-hmm. I will either meditate, or just have quiet time before I start the day. So don't look at the phone for 30 minutes. And I have a family. So to me, it's kissing my wife on the cheek, playing with my little girl, doing that, and just setting my intention for the day. And then I just get into the day.
I love that. Great morning routine.
Thank you.
And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I mean, Alex is amazing. I'm all over him, but Chris Doe is one that I would encourage any agency owner to also consume. He's big on sales and pricing and pricing your services as they should be. So Chris Doe is a CEO that I highly respect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite online tool?
I'm not going to say it's a tool. I'm just going to say YouTube. I'm just going to say YouTube just because I consume a lot of content on YouTube. And it's the content that gets me thinking. It gets me moving forward. It gets me pivoting and changing things. Mm-hmm. So I would just say that I'm not a big process person. My team will tell you that. So when you're talking about tools, I try to run from them, even though they help and you should have them. So
Okay. Very good. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
You know what, Julia? I honestly think that everything that has happened, the unknown has been, is the blessing. Not knowing is the blessing. So, because you have to figure it out then. Mm-hmm. So I can't sit here and say, oh, I wish if I had that, then I would have been this, or if I knew that. No, I actually believe that I not knowing at that time was the reason why I am here today, because I had to figure it out and I had to learn. And so, I know that's kind of a weird answer, but that's where my mind goes.
Yeah, no, I think what I could get from that is, you know, just having that ability to problem solve and, you know, constantly be evaluating what elements you need to be working on, improving on, building on, and take it one day at a time.
Back to the wall, figure it out. Because if it was handed to me or it made it easier, then maybe I wouldn't have learned things that I should have learned. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Arif. It was a pleasure to learn about your journey of entrepreneurship and learn about your story of growing CityBlock. So thank you for joining me for today's episode.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.